Okay, so the today's share is about titles and honor and respect, all connected, of course, to the concept of kavod, which is our midah that we've been studying. So I just want to read you a little bit of an anecdote here. This is after George Washington was inaugurated in 1789, the U.S. Senate convened in New York Federal Hall for an important piece of business that took up nearly a month of heated debate. Okay, the issue, how to refer to the president. Many people, Vice President John Adams foremost among them, thought that referring to Washington as president simply wasn't enough. Fire brigades and cricket clubs have presidents, he exclaimed in disgust. Adams argued that it was important to give the highest office in the land a title with more dignity and splendor. Others agreed. South Carolina Senator Ralph Izard proposed calling the president His Excellency. George Washington initially favored the title His High Mightiness. A Senate committee appointed to consider the issue came back with this mouthful. His Highness, the President of the United States of America and Protector of the Rights of the Same. Not everyone thought the president should have a fancy title. To some, the whole idea smacked of monarchy and seemed close to treason. The House of Representatives refused to even consider the idea. In the end, the Senate declared that while it would be proper to annex a respectable title to the office, it would drop the idea to preserve harmony with the House. For Washington and other future leaders of the United States, being called Mr. President would have to suffice. And here's an interesting side point. Tongue firmly planted in his cheek, Ben Franklin put forward a suggested title for the Vice President, Superfluous Excellency. I thought that I'd just throw that. Fascinating story, because we all know the story that George Washington refused to be king, but apparently, you know, he was a fine leader and the father of our country, but it's interesting that this was even a discussion, you know, and what the importance of titles are is, and what really gives importance to a person, of course, is really the discussion of today's shiur, and a little bit of Megillat Ruth, I thought, but just one more. In the back of the dictionaries, if you notice in the unabridged dictionaries, they usually have forms of address. So there are two pages of this. I took one page. So there's Ambassador to the United States, the Honorable, the Ambassador of the United States of America, Foreign Ambassador, His Excellency, Ambassador of whatever. And then they have for the Roman Catholic Church, Cabinet Officers. There's a list 2 pages long. There's only one page, and this is only a slight sampling. So this is, not a small thing. Even in this day and age of formality, informality, there's within the groom community, there are different customs also. Men refer to women, and for different reasons, and women refer to men, and the kids refer to their teachers. And you know, in some place in Israel, it's Mora so and so. Here, it's also Mora and so. Sometimes it's the first name of the teacher, but as long as you have Mora in front of it. So these are discussions that still rage on. So I thought we would just take a look, first, at the whole concept of what to call people and their names, and the importance of names is very prominent in Megillat Rut, which we're going to read, Mirtzah Hashem, on Shavuot. So Megillat Rut, you might want to take, this was, it came back to me, and this is just the story that I read. Take a quick look at that. Megillat Rut, we find, just here already in the second Pasuk, it says, "V'shem ha'ish Elimelech," the man's name was Elimelech. "V'hi b'yeshvot ha'shoftim," "V'hi rab ha'aretz," "V'elech ish v'etachem Yehuda l'agor b'shtei Moab hu v'ishto v'shnei banav." And then, "V'shem ha'ish Elimelech," "V'shem ishto," the name of the man was Elimelech. "V'shem ishto Naomi," and the name of his wife was Naomi. "V'shem shnei banav," "Machlom v'chilyon," "Ephratim," what does Ephratim mean? Any suggestions? You're probably not going to be wrong, so take a guess. That's what you would think, right? But it doesn't actually mean it here, but the Mefarshim mentioned that as a possibility. It should have been a possibility. I mean, Beit Lechem Yehuda from Bethlehem, or Beit Lechem in Shevet Yehuda. So, Avi Ephratim, we couldn't be from Ephraim, although there's, so why use that term? We'll see. And they came to the fields of Moab, and they were there. Now, before we look at any Mefarshim or anything, let's look at the names ourselves. What does Elimelech mean? What would you, how would you interpret it?
My God is a king.
So does it sound, my God is king? So maybe it's a praise of God, maybe it's a praise of himself, right? Or maybe it's a lie to me is Malchut, right? Or my God is glory. It sounds like not necessarily a humble name, if one would suggest, right? Eli Melech, right? And what does Naomi mean?
Pleasant.
Pleasant, right? That sounds like a, right? It's very appropriate for the story. And in fact, when she comes back after she loses her children, her husband, it says, right, she's Altikrenali Naomi, Krenali Mara. Call me Mara, like Maror, bitter, which is the opposite of pleasantness. So the names have a tremendous significance in the story. And if you've just looked at the whole Megillat Rut through the prism of the names, you would get a whole interesting picture just if you just focused on that one aspect of the story. And the names, and if you take a look also at the last parak, where David HaMelech is born, etc., look at the whole list of names, and each name will bring new significance to the story. So if you just looked at Megillat Rut from, you know, you could look at it from a lot of perspectives, but if you went from beginning to end and you just took note of the names, that would give a very interesting way of looking at the story. What is machlon b'chilion? What does that mean?
It's like sickness.
Right, sickness. Machala and kilion, kilayon is like call, it means destruction. Okay, but Ephratim, Rashi says, and the Midrash says it means chashuvim. But Ephraim is probably also in the same word also. Ephratim means important. Okay? And some say Ephrat is also called Beit Lechem, is the other, as we all know from today's city, Ephrat also, and it's in Rashi here as well. Okay? And they came to stay well with Yerushalayim. So you take a look just for a second at the Midrash Rabbah. This is from the Torah Tamima. The first one right below where it says Torah Tamima. Eli Melech. Rabbi Meir Hayah Doresh Shemot. That in itself, if you look, there's a very interesting, there are encyclopedias that I looked at. There's a whole, through, if you go through Shas and the Midrashim and in the and Tanakh itself, you start with Tanakh itself and then you go through Tanakh and the Midrashim and you go through the number of drushes that are regarding names are profound. There's so many of them. So, but this is an important idea. There's a lot of meaning to names. What is the significance of the names? Okay, so Rebbeir Hayadore Shemot is a general principle, an exegetical rule. He would darshan the names. Eli Melech Shaya Omer Eli Tavo Malchut. As he said, to me should come Malchut. So it's a very, it's not a humble statement. If you look at the Yud Gimel on the bottom, the note of the Torah Tmima, you'll see what he says. You see the Yud Gimel, it's like five lines down on the right column. He was from Shevet Yehuda. He was the prince of the Shevet. And therefore, you know, I'm royalty. For me should come royalty. So his name, his parents, whatever, or he called himself that name, or his parents called him that name. It sounds like maybe he even gave himself that name from this. Eli Tavo Malchut. To me is coming Malchut. Magili Malchut. Okay, it's certainly not it's the way Chazal explained what his role was. He didn't want to give the food to the reason he left is because he left, and some explain this according to the trap also. He left because of the lechem of Yehuda. He left his bayit. Some read it like this: mi bait. This is a drush. He left mi bait because of lechem Yehuda. He didn't want to provide. He was a miser. He didn't want to provide. This is Chazal said. He didn't want to provide bread to the inhabitants of Yehuda, so he left his house so he could avoid giving charity, avoid providing for the needs of his fellow countrymen. So that's why he left. He didn't want to give away his wealth. So that fits in with his name, Eli Melech. He was a big shot. He felt too much. He was too full of himself, and he didn't want to give up on his prestige and status, and didn't want to provide food for the people. Shem Yishto Naomi. Her whole nature and way was pleasant, right? And that, even through difficult times, you know, she's bitter momentarily, but she regains her composure, and she is a very critical, has a critical role in the story, as we know. Okay, Machlon v'chilyon, oh, sorry, we didn't finish the first Rasha. Naomi, Shayu ma'aseha na'im u'ni'im, because her deeds were nice and pleasant. Machlon v'chilyon, they were wiped out and removed from the earth. Lovely names, right? Not names you want to give your kids necessarily, right?
Oh, no, that's right.
Well, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting. So that's a good question. Perhaps the Gemara in Bava Batra, the next note, is answering your question. Maybe that wasn't their name that the mother called them. In Divrei Hayamim, called them Yoash and Saraf. In Divrei Hayamim, they have other names, Yoash and Saraf, not necessarily Yoash. Ha'Ketzad Shema Machlam B'Chilion. Their real names, okay, were Machlam B'Chilion. V'lama called them Yoash and Saraf. Yoash and Ityash Menagula, because they gave up on redemption. Yeush. And Sarah, Shinit Chaibu Sreif Alamakom, they were worthy of the death penalty of getting burned. Also not great names. Of Ephratim, just to see the next Rashi, Rashi builds on this, obviously. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi Omer, B'nei Paltin Chashuv, and they were the members of the important palaces. Rabbi Yehuda ben Nechemi Omer Sarim, they were princes. Okay. These names, and by the way, Rut, I didn't bring that one here, but Rut, there's different explanations of what Ruth is. So say she was the great-grandmother of David HaMelech. Sherive, it's kind of an Otrikin, a little bit playing with the letters of the name. Sherive, who be Shirav Nishbachot. Very important Joshua for a music teacher, that he was completely filled with songs and praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a drasha on Rut. Riveu b'shirav v'tishbachot. That he was like filled with shirav v'tishbachot. It's a notrikin. It's not exactly a Rashi Teva. It's a little different Rashi Teva. Anyhow, the name Rut also is, and there are other drashas on the name Rut. But you see here the importance of names, and in the case of Elimelech, it looks like either his parents or himself wanted to, cry out from his very name, I'm important. Take notice of me. Pay attention to me. So on this, I got into a very interesting, really fascinating, and this is extremely apropos for Shavuot. If you'll turn the page. This is from the Hakadama to the Mishnah of the Rambam. It's a wonderful, wonderful sefer. It should be required reading, especially for boys and girls that go to Eretz Yisrael. This is a very highly recommended thing to study. Gives you a real overview of the whole Torah Shuv Alpeh and of the Mesorah. So there's one the Rambam here says, Paperek HaShivi'i. The Rambam has a fascinating piece here on names and titles, which fits in, of course, what we just discussed in Megillat Rut and in the story about George Washington. So let's see. This in itself, it's worth... I had probably seen it years back, but this is such an important piece in the Hakdama of the Rambam. And it's so apropos for getting ready for Zman Matan Torah Teiron. We'll try to take this piece very slowly and go through it carefully. Okay, Perak HaShvi, B'seder Ma'alotam. The order of their importance of the people that are mentioned in the Mishnah. K'moshe Asa Mechaber, the author, B'yud HaNasi, Chilek Ma'alot HaAnashim HaNizkarim B'Mishnah. He divided the levels of the people that are mentioned in the Mishnah, Shehem Me'ah Ushmana Ve'esrim, which are, I don't know if anybody knew this number, interesting number, how many names of Rabbanim are mentioned in the Mishnah according to the Rambam? 128. So smaller than I would have thought, right? Mishalosh Malot. They're divided into three levels of importance. This is based in, you'll see shortly, this is based in, I actually saw the original version of the Tosefta in Eduyot. Okay, he quotes in the bottom, and the Tosefta has a different girsa, which is very interesting and fascinating, and if you would read it, you'd come out with a very different way of understanding this. But just know the Tosefta in the standard Gemaras in the back has a very different version, and if you look in the Mefarshim and the Tosefta there, they bring the version that the Rambam has in the Mefarshim there. But it's really interesting to see the original, and because it sounds very different. In the one that we have in the printed Gemaras today. Okay, so there are three levels of rabbis that are mentioned. There's 128 rabbis that are mentioned in the Mishnah. There are three levels. Shekol mi shaya be'inav nichbad me'od b'ma'alato al kol ha'ma'alot. Who is the most important on the highest level? What did Rabbi Yehuda Nasi call him? Kira'o bishmo. His name. Kigon, Sha'amar, Hillel, Vishamai, Ushmaya, Vavtalyon. These are the Zugot, right, at the beginning of Pirkei Avot. This is, of course, a great introduction to Pirkei Avot also. Pirkei Avot, which we've been learning, being Pesach l'Shavuot. Not a coincidence, this all fits together, getting ready for Matan Torah, to understand and appreciate the Mesorah and the Ba'alei HaMesorah. So the highest level, the highest Madrega, were Hillel and Shammai and Shmaya Avtalyon. Were they called Rav Hillel? Rav Shammai? Rashbahag, Admor Shmaya Naphtali? No, they're just called Hillel, Shammai, Shmaya Naphtali. Interesting. In Davka, they're called by their name without any titles. Uzel Gdulatam Uchivod Malatam. Because of their greatness and the kavod of their Mila. So, in other words, the highest praise that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi would give to a rabbi in the Mishnah was just call him by his name. Because it's almost to say, anything you add on, you detract. Call him Mosif Goreya. That would be my understanding, right? You add on, it says it all. And I just throw in for a second, Moshe Feinstein is called Reb Moshe. Okay? And he signed all his tshuvas, by the way, Moshe, right? He didn't Moshe Feinstein, right? Okay. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't teach children to use titles and that kind of thing, but in terms of Klal Yisrael, Hillel and Shammai, that says it all. You know, Hillel, you don't need to say anything further. And those are the highest madrega. We'll see the Tosefta down on the bottom shortly. Because you couldn't find a proper description that would make their name more important. Do you ever think about that? There's no Shmuel, and Yishayahu is not Rav Yishayahu and Rav, right? Okay. Take a look now. Let's look at the footnotes on the bottom. The footnotes are really terrific here also. Take a look at first Yud. It says they're not called below Reb Hillel or Rav Shammai. And Yud Aleph, they're not called Rav Yishayahu and Rav Yirmiyahu. Right? It says Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu, below Rav Yishayahu. Okay? Now take a look at Yud Bet. This is a very interesting historical piece also. B'yichud mechunim Rav... do we get up to... excuse me. We'll read one more line. I'm sorry. Aval ha-chachamim shayu be'inav up on top again. Aval ha-chachamim shayu be'inav lemata min ha-mala hazo. What's the next level? So the highest level is Hillel Shammai, the Zugot and the Shmaya Naphtalian. The Zugot were just called by their names without a title. Okay? And the Nevi'im were called with their names without a title. Well, but the next level, they would call them Rabban, which is Rabbeinu. Rabban in Aramaic, Rabbeinu. Yichaneh otam b'Rabban, kigon Rabban Gamliel, b'Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Okay, and take a look at the footnote. He explains why. B'yichud mechunim Rabban ha-Nesiim e-Beit Hillel. The Nesiim from the family of Hillel were given the title Rabban, our rabbi, like master teacher. Right? Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, what about him? He wasn't from the family of Hillel. Because Hillel was his Rebbe, he wasn't his biological father, anybody was his Rebbe, he said about Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai that he was a father of wisdom and the father to wisdom and a father of generations. You see, Ushami says after the parenthesis. So Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai was included in this group. Everybody else who was Rabban was from the family of Hillel, and they see him, the heads of the Sanhedrin, and one other person was Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, who of course took over, Tein li Yavne v'chachamel. So he was a Talmud of Hillel. Because he was serving as Nasi when Rabban Gamliel II was too young to take the position, is what he's saying. Okay, so therefore they gave the title Rabban to Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. I always thought of other reasons, because he was the one who said Tein li Yavne, but he was called that beforehand, apparently. So this is the reason they give, because he was serving almost like in that function in place of a child who was too young to assume the mantle of responsibility. Okay, so we have level one is Hillel Shammai Shmaya Vavtalian, just the name. Level two is this big title Rabban. Okay, the next Vishayu, second line from the bottom, Vishayu in the top part, Vishayu Beinav Latam in Amala Hazot Yichane Rabbi. The next level after Rabban, the next level down is Rebbe, or Rabbi. Kemo Shamar Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? Now take a look here. This is a very unbelievable footnote. This is, he quotes the Tosefta, according to the version that is very, very frequently quoted. This is a very famous Tosefta in the version that he has on the bottom here. V'chein matzino Tosefta Ediyot, Paragimel, Halacha Dalet, Gadol Mirav Rebbe. Greater, we didn't get to the fourth level, but he quotes it here in the Tosefta. Lower than Rebbe, the next level is Rav. Okay, so if we just review here, you have Hillel. Let's say, just check one of the Hillel. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Rebbe Yehuda, and Rav Ashi. Those are the levels. Okay? So the Tosefta says, Gadol mi Rav Rebbe. The Tosefta says, greater than Rav is the title Rebbe. Gadol mi Rebbe Rabban. Greater than the title Rebbe is the title Rabban. And this is the most famous portion. This is quoted all the time. But this is the main source for this. The Gadol mi Rabban Shimo. And greater than Rabban is just the name. If you can say it all with the name, that's all you need to say. Moshe Rab, okay, Moshe, whatever, even just the name. I have one of the most profound examples of that is a very famous woman we'll come back to at the end.
It's because they don't need a title, they stand.
Right, exactly. They stand. Right. When you say Hillel, you don't have to explain which Hillel. You say, you can say Hillel HaSheni, but you have to say Hillel HaSheni for the, it's a different one. But when you say just Hillel, everybody knows who you're referring to. Just Sham Shmuel. Just Sham Shmuel, Shmuel HaNavi.
I mean, Lahavdil, by their first name.
Right, but that's done, sometimes it's done, right, it's sometimes done as an idea to express a casual nature that they're, you know, but when you're talking about a very great person, that's all you need to say sometimes. They're just, they go above their title.
It's exalted. They're calling Hillel these days, like, so disrespectful.
But this is just, I don't know how they addressed him. There was the story that where they addressed him was a guy who had chutzpah, and they called him, he did call him Hillel, you know, whatever. All right. That's how were they actually addressed, and that may be a different question. Okay. Kedai lahavikan, he says that it's Divrei Hagaon Rashbatz Zal Bisifro Magen Avot. I don't have that sefer. I'd like to get it. Maybe there's one of the, he explains the following. Al Masechet Avot Barosh Perak Bet, turning the page. Mezel Shono. This is just absolutely fascinating, okay? Mezeh HaTorah Rebbe, those are quotation marks in Hebrew, the way they did it here. Rebbe, hayu mechanim bo, on the bottom, hayu mechanim bo lekol mi shenismach mipi samoch ish mipi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu. Rebbe is someone who got smicha from the direct line from Moshe Rabbeinu. In order to get the title of Rebbe, you had to have smicha, ordination. Literally, smicha means the placing of the hands, because that's the way we do it, place the hands, had to be from the direct line from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's fascinating in Gemara and Sanhedrin, when the smicha was broken, and they tried to restore the smicha, and then in Sfat, the story of how the Mechaber of Yosef Kara wanted to restore the smicha, and then what do we need today in order to have a Sanhedrin? You need smicha. This is a whole historical discussion, a fascinating discussion. U'shayu somchim oto, hayu korin oto Rebbe, and when they gave him smicha, they would call him Rebbe. K'moshe Nisker in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. V'chein ayu korin l'kol mi shenismach be'eretz Yisrael. Anybody who got smicha in Eretz Yisrael, they would call him Rebbe. Ki rach be'eretz Yisrael hayta smicha, because that's the only place you could do smicha, was in Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara over there, the quote in Sanhedrin, talks about the smicha had to be in Eretz Yisrael. It's also chashivas to Eretz Yisrael, chashivas to the person. V'anismachim hayu mumchim. They were called mumchim. V'nikru Elohim, lashon chol. It's the Mishnah and the Gemara at the beginning of Sanhedrin talk about this, a Beit Din of Mumchim versus a Beit Din Shel Hedyotot, as we'll see. So Mumchim means Smuchim. Mumchim, literally the word Mumchim in modern Hebrew means an expert, right? But Mumcha in the Gemara refers to a Samuch, someone who had Smicha. And they would be called Elohim, as in Arshiun Elohim. It says in the Torah, in Parshat Mishpatim, and elsewhere, uses the word Elohim referring to Lashon Chol, referring to judges, but emphasizing that God's presence is with the judges, so it's not a coincidence that they use the name, one of the names of God in Lashon Chol to express the concept of a judge. And if you had smicha, you were a mumcha, you could judge cases of fines. If you did not have smicha, you were permitted to don dine mamonot, but not dine knasot. Commotion, Amari brings it, I'm sorry, I forgot he brought it here, she arshion Elohim Yishalem, as the judge makes guilty, you have to pay. Parshat Mishpatim. The Chachmei Bavel lo ayu nikraim ala Rav, but the Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel, in Babylonia, were not called Rebbe, but they were called Rav. The Vishelo ayu nismachim, they did not receive smicha ayu nikraim hedyotot. They would be called regular, ordinary. Doesn't mean fools here; it means regular, ordinary. V'lo yachlu ladun dinei knasot, and they did not have the ability to judge matters of fines. That was, you know, you had to be in Eretz Yisrael. You had the Allah of Eretz Yisrael, you got smicha, and you could judge cases, including cases of fines. Now, this is, I don't think a lot of boys who are learning Gemara and whatever know this part. However, when the Talmidei Chachamim of Bavel would go to Eretz Yisrael, and some of them are called Nichutai, which means they need to go down. They would go down from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. They would, some of them traveled on business, Rav Ashi, Rav Zera. A number of them would travel on business from Eretz Yisrael and for other reasons, and they would also carry back and forth Divrei Torah from the Talmidei Chachamim, from the Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael to the Rosh Yeshiva in Bavel and back and forth. So they would, so when they were in Bavel, they would call them Rav. When they would go up to Eretz Yisrael, they would get Smicha, and then they would be called Rebbe. Well, this explains an interesting occurrence in the Talmud that happens frequently. Rav Zera vi Rebbe Zera. Are they two different people? Same person. One was before he went to Eretz Yisrael, and before he got Smicha, and the other was after. So that explains, you know, it's not two different people. You could have two Rebbe Yehudas, there are, but Rav Zera and Rebbe Zera are the same person. Rav Ami v'Rav Asi, and you also find Megam Rebbe Ami v'Rebbe Asi. Rav Yirmiya v'Rebbe Yirmiya. V'Sha Alumi Bavel v'Sham be'Eretz Yisrael nismichu. They came up from Bavel, they came to Eretz Yisrael, and there they got smicha. Now this is a really interesting comment here. Rabbi Poni, Rabbi so-and-so. You call a person a rabbi. So they go through a process. It's a YU has a four-year smicha program, and the people and in Eretz Yisrael there's all kinds of different levels of smicha. You have to take lots of tests, and it's an important thing. A person should have a certain knowledge and capabilities, and they should be tested on it. It's a good thing. But we don't really have smicha, because the line was broken. But today, he talks about the origins of calling people in his time, in these Rebbe Ploni, where you have Karaites, who didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. So what? Kedei shelo yitu lomar zeha ish min hakaraim, so that you shouldn't get confused and say this is a Karaite person. No. Ki hakaraim eina nohagim b'shem zeh. The Karaim would not use the name Rabbi. V'korim lamisha eino mehem, in order to distinguish between a Karaite leader, whatever they would call him, and a Talmid Chacham, they would call him Rabban. Klomar she'inu karoi ela Rabbani. He's a rabbinate guy, and he's a leader, and not a Karaite leader. Interesting explanation. I'm sure there's a lot more historical notes on this concept. Okay, so we understand now we have, the Rama mentioned a few levels, but we have, together with the footnotes, we have the name is the highest level. We have Rabban is the next level down. We have Rebbe is the next level down. And we have Rav, for those who are not in Eretz Yisrael. And so that's where, and so the highest so far is Gadol mi Rabban Shemo. Vayimechana anshe amale, if you're turning the page on the top, Hazot kimo chein Abba, and the Rambam mentions another title also. They would call people who had the also kimo chein Abba, kimo shoma Abba Shaul. They would call these people also in this, sometimes they would refer to a rabbi also is the title Abba. I don't know if you've seen that in the Gemara. He gives an example here. Abba Shaul. Abba Shaul is a very, well, it's like saying Rav Shaul. So sometimes they would use the word Abba instead of Rav. Sometimes they would remove the title completely and they wouldn't mention it. And they would only mention the name of the person. He gives examples. Kigon Shuomer, Shimon Achi Azariah, Velazar Ish Bartota. They wouldn't use any titles. Uklal Anashima Shiniku Bishmam Alder Kavod Velochina Otam Eluhein. And he gives a list of people that were mentioned just by their name, and it's a very exalted thing. And they didn't need the title. Many of them familiar to us from Pirkei Avot. Right? Shimon Atzadik, Antigonos Yisocho, Yossi Ben Yoezer, Yossi Ben Yochanan, etc. Okay, and if you go to the last line after the period, they didn't care about adding or taking away the titles. That was not such a problem. Because, really, Gadol mi Rabban Shemo, the greatest praise sometimes, if a person doesn't need the title, that perhaps is the greatest praise. And, you know, there's a very famous, this immediately brought to mind, a very famous pasuk in Kohelet. which is quoted in Pirkei Avot, it's quoted by the Rambam, it's quoted all over, it's constantly referred to. If you, and it's a whole series of Tov, this is better than that.
Right.
Right. It's a very famous concept. Maybe we take a quick look at this because, you know, the greatness of a person's name, the name a person makes for him or herself. Okay, that's it. Okay. Tov, shame, mishem and tov. You see the Kohelet? Greater is a name than goodly oil. Okay, it means whatever possessions or other greatness than wealth and riches, whatever. Yom hamavet, miyom hivaldo. And the day when a person passes away is greater than, that's why we celebrate, we do celebrate Yahrzeit. We observe, what does it mean to celebrate a Yahrzeit? We celebrate the person's life and accomplishments. So in Yiddishkeit, right, it's much more of a, the one we all know, famous person who had a birthday in Tanakh, Paro had a birthday party, right? So, but we celebrate a person's life. It sounds a little sad and maybe morbid to the modern mind, but when after the person is passed on, you learn so many lessons from the person. So I often will write myself a couple of notes after I listen to a funeral, because I think that sometimes you learn the best lessons of what's really important in life when you go and you hear the eulogies. What do people emphasize? They, you know, what do they forget? What do they emphasize? So I usually take a couple of notes. I still have them from various funerals, and you can learn a lot of lessons. So I think that's what the end of the pasuk means. Well, take a look. This is just, I don't know if we'll do this. It's a long chazal here on the bottom in the Tartmima on a good name, but it's there's several drushes, and they're beautiful ideas in what does it mean, a good name. So you see Aleph, the Perek Zayin, Aleph, Tov, Shem, Yishem, and Tov. B'meh Tovato. What is a good name? What is better about a good name? Shemen Tov Yered, or Yored. Shemen, good oil, drips downward. Shem Tov Oleh. Okay, and a good name goes up. It says, he brings in the footnote, Avraham Avinu Bagad La Shemecha. In other words, a person's good name raises, I think also a hint, obviously, raises them up. Shemen tov the shato. So you have good oil, I don't know, you can put it on your salad, or you can have it with your bread, or you can, you know, or you can smear it on the Olympic player, whatever they do with the good oil, and you make good oil, popcorn, whatever. Shem tov the olam. But the shemen is temporary, and the good name is forever. The name should be forever. So that's a good name lasts forever. Powerful. Shemen tov kala. Hushem tov eno kala. Similar idea. That there's some difference in what it said before. It's gone. It's gone forever. Maybe it's laws of science. It's nothing is ever completely destroyed. It's transferred into a different form. But as it was, it is no longer. And a good name, as it was, lasts forever. It doesn't get destroyed. Shemen tov nikne bedamim. A good oil is bought with money. Hushem tov bechinam. But a good name doesn't cost anything. Interesting. Yeah, that's it's interesting. It doesn't cost anything. And he talks about the, although yes, you can give tzedakah and you can get a good name that way, but there's also chesed b'yadayim, gemilut chesed b'gufo. Right? Shemen tov noheg b'chayim v'shem tov noheg b'chayim v'medim. Oh, wow. A good oil is only people who are alive can appreciate it. And it's only relevant, but a good name goes on for the living and the deceased. You refer to the deceased, we refer all the time. Shemen tov ba'ashirim, and only the wealthy can afford good oil. Think of it today, whatever, diamonds. The Havdil Elif Alfei Avdalos, these on the front page of the Times yesterday, the rap players, the ones who are the chashuva ones can afford real diamond necklaces. And the ones, you saw that? And the ones, right? Yeah. And the other ones using cubic zirconium. I was appalled. You know, my favorite rock, you know, rap star was wearing a cubic zirconium. I thought it was passionless. But anyhow, so the Yashem Tov is Shirim Enaniyim. So the good name, you know, if you have a good name, you don't have to have any amount of money. That's not the way you get a good name. Shem Tov Mahalech Mecheder Lecheder Yashem Tov Alech Misof Olam Vatsof Olam. So good oil, you know, you can. I don't know, maybe they used to grease the floors with it instead of wax. I don't know. You can move it from room to room. It means whatever. You can have it in the house. Use it in the kitchen. You could use it for your Hanukkah menorah, whatever it is. But a good name goes around the world. And if that were true in the time of Chazal, Kavuchomer ben Menosho Kavuchomer. Now it goes around the world in a millionth of a second, right? Can you imagine this has taken on a whole new meaning? Shemen tov kishnofel alameitu mavish, v'shem tov nofel alameitu ve'inu mavish. If you, or, the best oil can form, you could, you know, they prepare the body and it still gets spoiled, you know, it doesn't smell nice. But shem tov goes on a person who's deceased and it doesn't smell bad, the opposite, it smells good. Okay, yeah, I think you get the gist here. And it's really a very powerful idea that a good name is something which really has unbelievable impact and lasts forever. And therefore, and I think this connects very tightly with the idea of Gadol Miraban Shemo. But how do you get a good name? That's not such an easy thing. That's I think the answer to that is generally good midot. And that's what we try to strive for our Talmidim and our Talmidot. I thought I'd end just with one interesting anecdote. I had a very great privilege and pleasure to study with Nechama Leibowitz, Aleih HaShalom, who was just the leading person in Tanakh in the world, I think it's safe to say, for many decades. And in fact, what she did was not just was she an extraordinary teacher, wrote extraordinary books, but she actually really taught people, this is the day before computers and email, people would write her every week and fill out her sheets. They would send it to her from, hundreds of people each week, or maybe more, and she would actually mark them and send feedback to people. On these old, I have a whole pile of these yellow, they're the 8.5, the long sheets, also the large size, and she would communicate with these people, some people, for years and years. And she was just so extraordinary, beyond belief, and exceedingly, exceedingly humble as well. And on her kever, this fits in with what I was just learning, it says one word at her request, Mora. That's it.